In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And I'm your host, Father Ed Broom, Oblate of the Virgin Mary. And great to be with you as always. And today we celebrate Mary, the Mother of the Church, as we enter into ordinary time. So we always introduce Mary by these words. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. So we'd like to invoke Mary, invite Mary to be with us. Also, when we pray that beautiful prayer, the Hail Holy Queen, we also invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's ask Mary to be with us, to pray with us, and to pray for us, that she would bring us closer to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So let's pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now I'd like to invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit of God. Like Mary, the Holy Spirit has many titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our Counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as our Consoler. Holy Spirit is also known as our Interior Master, our Teacher. St. Paul says we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can cry out, Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So, let us invite the Holy Spirit to come to give us a lot of light in our intellect, as well as the fire of divine love to burn within our hearts. As we pray, the classical traditional prayer to the Holy Spirit, who we honored in a very special way yesterday as we celebrated the feast day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it as we enter into ordinary time celebrating Mary, the Mother of the Church. So to encourage all of you today, I will be praying for you in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. That's right, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer in the world than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. So I'd like to place all of you on the altar in this Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And offer the following intentions. First, is that we would be more and more open to the inspirations and workings of the Holy Spirit. As we celebrated Pentecost, we want to be more docile to the workings of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And perhaps we can say this prayer during the course of the day. In honor of the Holy Spirit and Mary. That prayer is, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Next intention. I'd like to pray for all of our families. That in a very special way, our families would be blessed because Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church, and Mary is the Mother of all of our families. That Mary's maternal presence would bless all of you and your families. Especially for the wandering children that have wandered from the fold, that through Mary's prayers that they would return. That through Mary's prayers that they would return to the fold. Then, last but not least, I'd like to pray with you for a very special category of people. And that category will be those who will be dying within the next 24 hours. That they would die in the state of grace. That Mary, her divine maternity, her being the Mother of God and the Mother of the Church, Mary, would obtain for them repentance of their sins and eternal salvation. As Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul in the process? So let's pray for for those who are dying, but especially deathbed sinners who have in a certain sense forgotten about God, that they would return and be saved. So, my friends, I'd like to start with a little anecdote, and then we'll enter into Mary as the Mother of God. Here we have a beautiful statue of Mary, the Mother of God. So I'll place Mary to be with us, holding Jesus in her arms during the course of our conversation. And the anecdote that I'd like to tell you is related to the liturgical season that we're entering into right now. Because yesterday we ended what is called the Easter season with the solemnity of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles. For that reason, Pope Francis instituted a new memorial, which is today we celebrate Mary, the Mother of the Church. Very appropriate, because Pentecost is actually the birthday of the Church. So the fact that this feast day we celebrate today, Mary, the Mother of the Church, is very logical and very appropriate. A very beautiful celebration. And the little story I'm going to tell you is related to Mary and her desire for us to become saints. But in this way, we have a modern saint. He was canonized just a short time ago, but lived in the 1800s, the 19th century. His name is Saint John Henry Cardinal Newman, who was converted from Anglicanism to Catholicism, and one of the greatest writers and preachers in the English language. So I'd like to offer to you, in honor of Mary, the Holy Mother of God, and our universal call to holiness, an anecdote from the life of Cardinal Newman. John Henry Newman was once asked, how can I become a saint? And he gave a recipe. So I'd like to offer you the recipe to holiness from John Henry Cardinal Newman. First thing he said was, get to bed on time. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise, as the poet says. Get to bed on time. And that might seem to be something incidental for you, but it really is important. Because if we don't get proper rest, we're probably going to be cranky, impatient, perhaps fly off the handle. We're not going to be as mentally alert, and we probably can't even pray as well as we should. So early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. The second thing, Cardinal Newman says, when you get up, offer yourself to God. So make your morning offering to Jesus through Mary as soon as you get up. As you celebrate Mary, the Mother of God, she's the Mother of the Church. She's the Mother of each and every one of us. Start your day by giving yourself to Mary. And she will give us to Christ. The next, Cardinal Newman says, eat and drink to the honor and glory of God. St. Paul said that in these words, whether you eat or drink, do everything for the honor and glory of God. Then Cardinal Newman, once again honoring Mary, says that we should try to pray the rosary well every day. We still are in the month of May, which is the month of Mary. And today we celebrate Mary, the mother of the church. And 2 days we'll celebrate the last day of May, which is the visitation of Mary to her cousin Elizabeth. So we have these two Marian feast days as we conclude the month of May. So pray your rosary. And if possible, pray the rosary in the family, because the family that prays together stays together. And Cardinal Newman said this, that we should make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. Now for us in the United States, given that there are many Catholic churches, making a visit to the Blessed Sacrament is not that hard. You might even make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament, and even try to go to daily Mass when you can. There is no greater gesture in the world than to go to Mass and receive Holy Communion with great love. Blessed Carlos Acutis said that Holy Communion is the highway to heaven. I like that. That's a young saint. Carlos Acutis said, he said that Holy Communion is the highway to heaven. Then Cardinal Newman said this. If you have bad thoughts, try to reject them right away. We all are assaulted by bad thoughts in our lives. That's part of living. But as soon as you're aware of bad thoughts, reject them right away. You might have heard a story of a priest that was talking to a man in spiritual direction. The priest asked the man, "Do you entertain bad thoughts?" And the man said, "No, they entertain me." "Did you entertain bad thoughts?" He said, "No, they entertain me." Now, that's wrong. So, as soon as we're aware of bad thoughts, we should try to reject them. Speedily. With alacrity. Reject them right away. Then, Saint Cardinal John Henry Newman said this. Holiness depends upon doing the ordinary things of daily life with extraordinary love. There we have Blessed Cardinal Henry Newman's secret or recipe to holiness. So as we honor Mary, the mother of the church, let us strive for holiness. So let's talk about Mary, the mother of the church. I'd like to give you an overall ecclesial perspective, and then we'll talk about what does it mean to be Mary as mother, as well as mother of the church. The Second Vatican Council was convened by Pope St. John the 23rd, and he died during the council. Then his successor, St. Pope Paul the 6th, took the baton and ran with it, and he concluded the Second Vatican Council. In the Second Vatican Council, one of the most important councils in the history of the Church, eventually there would be published 16 documents. Four of the documents are of fundamental, primary importance. These are called dogmatic constitutions. De Verbum, which refers to divine revelation and the Bible. As St. Ambrose says, the ignorance of sacred scripture is ignorance of Christ. Then Sacrosanctum Concilium, which deals with the Mass and the liturgy. Gaudium et Spes, the Church in the modern world and the challenges that the Church has to go through. Speaking about the family and atheism and materialism. Then the last dogmatic constitution, considered the most important by many, is Lumen Gentium, which means light of all the people. In this, there are 8 chapters. And the 5th chapter is what we referred to when we talked about Cardinal Newman. Chapter 5 of Lumen Gentium is the universal call to holiness. That all of us are called to become saints. Jesus gave us an imperative, a command. Be holy, as your heavenly Father is holy. So the Church Fathers were battling what place should Mary have, and they decided the last chapter of Lumen Gentium would be dedicated to Mary. And while she was proclaimed, the mediatrix, as well as the co-redemptrix, as well as the coadjutrix, and the first disciple, first and best disciple of Christ. But Mary was named as the mother of the Church. Venerable Fulton J. Sheen said that when she was proclaimed as Mother of the Church, the Council Fathers stood up and they applauded for a long time, proclaiming Mary to be the Mother of the Church. So Mary is proclaimed to be Mother of the Church. An explanation of this. Here's another beautiful image of Mary I thought I would show you. This is Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Very beautiful, isn't it? It's a very beautiful image of Mary with Jesus. Mary's looking at us with great love, and Jesus is looking at Mary with great love. Perhaps the easiest explanation would be the following. Jesus is the head of the Church. The Church is called the mystical body of Christ. The mystical body of Christ. He's the head. We're the members. So Mary is the mother of the mystical body of Christ. And the readings for today in the Mass, the first reading, there's an option. First reading, we have the first book of the Bible, Genesis. In this, we have the temptation of our first parents. Specifically, the Church hones in on the person of Eve. Eve, the temptation, the fall. And then the reading presents God talking to Eve. asking her, why did you eat from the forbidden fruit? And Eve says, the serpent that was there tempted me, and I fell into the temptation. And then God metes out a chastisement on the serpent. Say that he will crawl on the ground and eat dust all the days of his life. And then we have Genesis 3:15, which is known as the Proto-Evangelium. The Proto-Evangelium means the first good news. Evangelium, where we have the word gospel, means good news. And this first good news we have with these words from sacred scripture. Speaking to the serpent, I will place an enmity between you and the woman, her offspring and yours, and she will crush your head. So have Eve, and Mary is known as the second Eve. That Mary will crush the head of the serpent. That's right, Mary will crush the head of the serpent. I remember as a child, in her home as a child, there was a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it was Our Lady of Grace. Our Lady of Grace. And what I remember in that statue, and it always fascinated me, was a lady dressed in blue and white, but also that there was a snake. And the snake had an apple in its mouth. In the statue, Mary was standing on his head, crushing the serpent. Even as a little child of 5 or 6 years old, I remember that, but especially the woman standing and crushing the head of the serpent. That was the statue of Our Lady of Grace. Statue of a Lady of Grace. St. Louis de Montfort says that we are called to be the heel of Mary. We are called to crush the head of the ugly serpent. How? By calling out to Mary. So there we have the story of Eve, and Mary is known as the second Eve. Eve failed by her disobedience and her pride. Mary succeeded by her humility and her obedience to God. Eve was seduced by a fallen angel. Mary spoke to another angel, the Archangel Gabriel. Eve sinned by eating from the tree. Mary stood beneath the tree of the cross. This is the interplay that the fathers of the church give to us. Another optional reading that can be used instead of the book of Genesis is what we're reading during 50 days during the Easter season, and it's Acts the Apostle chapter 2. And it says that they were all united in the upper room. Peter and James and John and Philip and Matthew and Thomas and James, the lesser James the Great, and Nathaniel, and Jude Thaddeus, with Mary and some other women. They're all united together in prayer. So that's actually the second. That's a reading, an optional reading that we can use today. Which brings us back to yesterday, because yesterday we celebrated Pentecost. And of course, you know that Pentecost was preceded by 9 days of prayer and penance and silence, which the 120 disciples of the Lord, the apostles, and Mary and some other women, were there in prayer. And then the Holy Spirit manifested himself by a powerful wind and by fire. A powerful wind. See that the Holy Spirit is going to blow the sins out of our lives. Gone with the wind. And then by fire. Fire is another symbol of the Holy Spirit. What does fire do? The qualities of fire are light and heat. And that's what the Holy Spirit will do in us through Mary's prayers. The Holy Spirit will enlighten our intellect. Will shed his light upon our intellect so that we will know the truth. Then the Holy Spirit will also ignite, set our hearts on fire with the love of God. True that we have to go through a process of purification. We're not going to arrive at the mystical life without passing through the ascetical life. Prayer and penance and fasting and mortification and the cross is part and parcel of our progress in the spiritual life. The mystical doctor of the church, Saint John of the Cross, says that we in our lives are like a dirty, rusty piece of iron. Imagine you go to your garage, and you see that there's a dirty, smelly, rusty piece of iron that's been in your garage maybe for 10 years. And it's cloaked with rust. Then you make a fire and you place that rusty piece of iron in the fire. And what happens is, in time, that rusty piece of iron is no longer going to be rusty. But rather, the rust is going to fall off the iron. And that rusty piece of iron is going to assume the same quality of the fire that is cast into. The blazing fire is going to burn away the dross and the rust. So we are, by means of analogy, St. John of the Cross says that we are that rusty piece of iron. We're rusty, we're dirty, we're smelly, we're cold. We're distorted, but cast in the fire of divine love, which is the Holy Spirit, then what happens is we're transformed. We go through what I said in my homily yesterday, a metamorphosis. A metamorphosis, also known as a metanoia, a conversion. So that reading of Mary with the apostles in the upper room is very indicative of what we celebrate today, because Mary with the apostles, she's with them. They're the early church and she's the mother of the church. Excuse me. Mary is the mother of God. She's the mother of the church, and she's the mother of each and every one of us. So there, my friends, we have the optional second reading. Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Father, mother of God the Son. And Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. So, my friends, we're speaking about Mary, the Mother of God, but also the Mother of the Church. And here's that beautiful image of Our Lady of Perpetual Help. Before going into the Gospel today, I'd like to cite one of the sayings of St. Augustine. Very encouraging words about Mary, the Mother of God. And this is what St. Augustine says. We're to put all the love of all the mothers of all times together. Think about that. Many of you are mothers. Put all the love of all the mothers of all times, of all ages, of all cultures, from the first mother to the last. That's a lot of love. The love of the heart of Mary is much greater than all that love. Wow, I'll say that again. Put all the love of all the mothers of all times together. The love that Mary has for us is greater than all that love put together. So Mary is truly the Mother of God. She's the Mother of the Church, and she's the Mother of each and every one of us. And that takes us, my friends, as we celebrate Mary, the Mother of the Church today, to this point. You sometimes hear among some disgruntled Catholics, I'd say, especially more among the younger ones, they'll say the following. Well, I love God. I like to read the Bible. I like the Gospels. I like Jesus Christ and his words. But then they will sometimes say, I do love God, I do love the Bible, I do love Jesus, but I don't like the church. I don't like the church. You really can't say that, because as Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. So if he ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God, he will come to judge the living and the dead, then that's the case. Where is Christ? Jesus Christ is present today in His church, known as the mystical body of Christ. We are the members. He's the head, but Mary is the mother of all the members. So Mary is the mother of all the members of the church. Therefore, I'm trying to debunk that heresy or erroneous concept that's floating around, saying, I love God, I love the Bible, I love Jesus, I love His preaching, but I can't stand the church. You really can't say that because Christ decides to remain with us in His mystical body, which is the church, and Mary is the mother of the church. And we are the members. We are the members. So let's move, my friends, from the first readings to the gospel. The gospel today is taken from St. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, this passage we see Mary being proclaimed as the mother of the church in these words. So where are we? John chapter 19, we are at Calvary. Jesus is on the cross. Jesus is on the cross. Stabat Mater. Mary's at the foot of the cross. And there at the foot of the cross, you have the three best friends of Jesus Christ. Venerable Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen states that Mary Magdalene, who's there at the foot of the cross, embracing the cross in tears with disheveled hair, she symbolizes or represents penitence. Because before her conversion, she lived a disorderly life. But once she encountered true love in the person of Christ, her life was radically transformed. She dedicated her life to that of penance and prayer. According to tradition, she spent the latter part of her life in a cave with honoring her cross. Then at the foot of the cross, we have both St. John the Evangelist and Mary at the foot of the cross, the Stabat Mater, Mary at the foot of the cross. Now, St. John the Evangelist, the faithful disciple, Jesus' best friend, Jesus had three good friends, Peter, James, and John. But his best friend was St. John the Evangelist. Let us pray that as we enter into ordinary time through Mary's prayers, that Jesus will be our best friend in time and for all eternity. So St. John, beneath the cross, as he stands next to Mary, you'll often see St. John right next to Mary as Jesus hangs on the cross. And Mary Magdalene embracing the cross with her disheveled hair in tears. says the following. Rather, Fulton Sheen points out that John the Evangelist represents the priesthood. What is the priest? Fulton Sheen calls the priest the victim who offers the victim. There, John the Evangelist is standing almost as if he were offering Christ to the Father for the salvation of the world. So in the person of St. John, you have the priesthood. Christ is the eternal high priest. St. John is priest and bishop. And then next to St. John the Evangelist, the Apostle, is Mary Stabat Mater. Mary who stood, the mother who stood at the foot of the cross. Now Jesus, as he hangs on the cross, will speak seven times. One of the words of Jesus from the cross were words that were directed to both Mary and John. And this is the reason why the church chooses John chapter 19 to celebrate Mary, the mother of the church. Jesus is about to breathe forth his spirit. He's about to say, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. But before doing it, Jesus wants to address himself to his mother. So you're invited to read John chapter 19 today as we celebrate Mary, the mother of the church. Jesus looks down upon his mother with great love, as well as his beloved disciple. And he says, Woman, woman, behold thy son. Looking at St. John the Evangelist. And then Jesus says, Son, behold thy mother. And the gospel writer goes on to say that in that moment, the beloved disciple took Mary into his home. Eventually, John will go to Ephesus and Mary will be invited to be in the home of St. John the Evangelist in Ephesus as a bishop of Asia Minor in the seven churches that we read in the book of Revelation. So in that very moment, Jesus was giving his beloved mother to his beloved disciple, St. John the Evangelist. However, the interpretation is that in those few words, Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. In that moment, the beloved disciple took her into his home. Jesus was actually giving his beloved mother in the person of St. John to all of us and to the whole church. So St. John represents the church. So for that reason, the Holy Roman Apostolic Church liturgically chooses that passage, John 19, to point out that Mary is the Mother of God, the Mother of the Church, but she's the Mother of each and every one of us. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. So, remembering those words of the great Saint Augustine, he says, I love these words of Saint Augustine. They're so consoling. Saint Augustine goes on to say, this is almost impossible to imagine, but we should try to do it. If we were to put all the love of all the mothers of all time together, try to imagine that. We have a lot of mothers with me this morning. Put all the love of all the mothers of all times, put it all together. The love that Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of the church, your mother, is greater than all of that. Wow. For that reason, St. John Bosco, we celebrated on May 24th, Our Lady Help of Christians. For that reason, St. John Bosco had a vision of Dominic Savio after he died. And Dominic Savio asked John Bosco, what do you think gave me greatest joy when I was still living? John Bosco was trying to guess, well, your prayer life, your penance, your work with young people, your purity, your mortification. And Dominic Savio said, well, yeah, those were fine, but there was something that gave me even greater joy. And John Bosco said, well, Dominic, tell me, what gave you greatest joy when you're on earth? And Dominic Savio said, my love for Mother Mary. My love for the Blessed Virgin Mary, in Italian, La Madonna. My love for Mary, La Madonna, was what gave me greatest joy while I was still living on earth. And Dominic Savio said to Jesus, to John Bosco, you do the same. Promote great love for Mary. Our Lady, help of Christians. So, my friends, what a beautiful, beautiful way. What a beautiful, beautiful way to start off ordinary time in the church after celebrating 50 days of Easter. After celebrating Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon Mary and the Apostles. What a wonderful way to enter into ordinary time. And I think Mary can teach us. Returning to Cardinal Newman. What does holiness consist in? And Mary, who is the mother of Jesus in the house of Nazareth, spent many years there in Nazareth doing the domestic chores that many of you do. Cardinal Newman, as well as Saint Therese of Lisieux, says that holiness is this: trying to do the ordinary things. Trying to do the ordinary things of our daily life with an extraordinary love. There you have the essence and the secret of true holiness. It's called the Little Way of Saint Therese of Lisieux. So my friends, invite all of you to share our conversation with many of your friends, that they would recognize how much Mary loves us. So put all the love of all the mothers of all times together. The love that Mary, the Mother of God, and the Mother of Church has for you is much greater. So I'd like to give you, my friends, my priestly blessing in honor of Mary, the Mother of the Church. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.